Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Nokia's Job Search Advice Radio, episode 2504. And you're listening. I started to think because I used to hunt down leaders and staff for organizations and did it for many, many years. Now I coach people. People hire me for no BS career advice, which can relate to job search, of course, but I also help people and organizations with hiring more effectively, managing and leading better, resolving workplace issues, career transitions, and more. Today's guest, Stuart McCalla, is an executive coach I was introduced to, who is brilliant. And we talk about job search resilience and more in the course of this interview. He's a very interesting man. I think you'll enjoy this interview. It's about a half hour in length, and I hope you share it with other people. It is worthwhile. And we'll be back in just one moment. So my guest today is Stuart McCalla. Stuart has worked in tech and in some of the most well-known companies in the country. He's a managing partner at Evolution, a coaching culture and leadership development firm. And Stuart has taken his life lessons and professional lessons and woven them into a coaching culture he provides to clients. Stuart, welcome. Hey, thanks, Jeff, for making time today.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. So, folks, we're going to be talking about a bunch of things, but I think it really is going to start off with talking about resilience and job search. Mm-hmm. So, when we think about resilience, Stuart, why is it important to people to be resilient through their search?
Well, a job search, especially in this day and age, can be a brutal thing. Most people experience job searches as not a pleasant experience.
It's up there with root canal. I understand.
Exactly. Even maybe a little bit worse than that, right? It can be really intense. And more so because a job search, people put their worth attached to their job. And so getting a no or a rejection can be really intense for folks. And so crafting or cultivating a sense of resilience is going to help you be more successful in a job search and be able to navigate the nuances, the weirdness, the rejections, the highs, the lows of any job search that anybody's engaging with.
So some people think of resilience as having one definition. I want to make sure the audience understands your definition of resilience. Right. Yeah. How would you define it for them?
It's a great question. You know, resilience for me is multi-layered, but it really is this idea of knowing who you are and not being knocked around, or not your sense of who yourself is not being shaped by the forces around you, and that you're able to adapt to the situation around you, still staying true to who you are. So resilience is not, I can overcome anything, because anybody can overcome anything and change who they are to overcome that thing. But if you're resilient, if you are adaptable, if you are sure of who you are, then nothing's going to knock you off your pedestal or knock you off your balance, basically, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's so funny. And folks, if you're listening to this in podcast form, Stuart presented that sentence, that definition, solid. Firm. There was a quality in his speech and in his manner that he was unmovable.
Yeah, thanks for that. But that's many years of dealing with, you know, job searches and clients and, knowing who you are, getting to the heart of who you are in any job search is going to be almost like personal self-development. You're going to struggle. And so as you can imagine, it's a crucible that refines you. And so seeking a job, getting a job and a job that you want, think of it as a crucible. Think of it as a passage for you to go through and enjoy it that way.
It's so funny because, you know, having worked in search for as many years as I did, I spoke to thousands and thousands of people who were basically like fish in a pond trying to jump on whatever hook got thrown in the water for them. And that sense of certainty about who they are and what they want was non-existent. I need a job. I want a job. I need a job became their manner. And thus, anyone meeting with them would get that sense of anxiety and desperation that so many people have as they engage in that job search.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's not very useful to adopt that stance of desperation and anxiety. And I wanted to say and offer, I know that people have and are desperate and anxious because the world, you know, if you're having a job and you've got like two kids and, you know, you may be the only breadwinner or maybe one of two and you need that income, it can feel very defeating and anxiety producing. So what can you do under stress and how do you learn to deal with stress?
You anticipated my next question. That's perfect. Right. We had to do a segue at some point.
That's right. Great minds, right?
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So how do you start developing that sense of resilience?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I did. And everybody's going to be a little bit different. But the first thing I did was I made sure to collect people around me who were mentors and guides. And you'd be surprised. A lot of folks will say, well, you know, in getting a job, I don't need a mentor. I'm like, actually, you probably do. A mentor is going to be able to tell and be a voice of reason for you. They're going to be able to tell you, hey, maybe you shouldn't do it this way, or have you thought about it a different way, or this is my experience. And having that information come in that you can process, analyze, and then move on and use is super useful. And many people really want to be mentors. You'd be surprised. A lot of folks who have said to me, well, I don't know any mentors. I'm like, well, go ask your old boss if you have a good relationship with that person. Go ask somebody in your field. Do an informational interview. You might not be able to get the person that you want, but they might pass you on to somebody else that might become a mentor. So that's one first. That's the first step, I think.
I'm going to add in the one thing of, or hire a coach to work with.
Or hire a coach. Yes, that's right. Well, I mean, I'll just say, you know, I've.
And the same issues with coaching exist with mentors. There's some very good coaches, and there are some really infantile baby coaches talking about the dream job with the wonder. You know, it's childish advice that you get from them because they don't know.
Well, I think, you know, the coaches, this is, so we'll go off a little bit on a tangent here, but the coaches who I think are most profound have done their own work. So they know where they stand in the world. And so coaches, the coaches that I've seen, and I'm hoping I can count myself one of them, but it's not for me to say, it's for my clients and for the people who interact with me. That when I do my own work, I show up differently. And so the same thing with a job search. If you do your own work, if you investigate the things about yourself that people have said sometimes you might do in a job, or if you have a practice by which you are journaling and you're reflecting on your thoughts and see the highs and lows that are happening within your life. There's a lot of community, there can be some weird ones. So, but if you join a community of people who are doing similar work, I mean, be careful. I think I'll just, let's just say that. Right. But if you join a community of people who are doing that work as well too, you then develop and have that skill reflected back to you, that sort of self-exploration, you know, deep dive within yourself. And it's not something you do every day, but as you do a little bit, it's, you know, it's funny, I just got done with a weightlifting class and I'm 51 years old and weightlifting was not my thing for a long time. But what I loved about it was it is an incremental developmental skill. And the same thing with a job search. It's an incremental developmental skill and building that resilience in that system around you is incremental and developmental. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time. So develop that time and be deliberate about it. I remember writing notes. I still looked at my notes from when I was looking for jobs, and I wrote notes on everything that I happened in an interview. What did I learn? What did I like? Who did I not like? Why did I not like that person? What was my experience? Like, ask yourself questions after every job interview. And you'll see over time a pattern developing, and that's what you want to look for.
Absolutely true. And, you know, for so many people, they think they're supposed to figure out things by themselves.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm an adult. I should know. That's the shorthand for I can do this by myself. I should be able to do this by myself. And I always ask the question, and who told you that?
Not only who told you that, but why did you even think, you know, all the most successful people that I know have a team around them. Whether it's a team they pay for, it's a team that they've built over time through relationships, they have a team around them. When I coach my clients, and I've, you know, coached CEOs and senior vice presidents and executive vice presidents, the first thing I ask is, what's the team around you as you're embarking on this coaching journey? It's not just me. I'm one person that can give you an insight. But do you have a naturopath, a therapist, a spiritual advisor, a yoga teacher, like whatever it is around you? But it's not just one person. It's not two people. It's probably about six or seven. Yeah. And just develop that team around you that you can go to so that you're not doing it by yourself. Nobody has ever accomplished anything by themselves. I'm going to say this completely declaratively, and I could be completely wrong, but nobody has accomplished anything by themselves that has had huge impact in the world.
And there are a lot of people who operate at a lower level and aren't thinking of themselves as having impact. And they do, of course.
And they do, of course. I mean, that's also a thing. So many people in their job search don't see the impact they have, even on the companies that they're going and interviewing with. Yeah.
So in developing resilience around the job search, I want to connect it with that for a second.
Sure.
What sort of things should a person be cultivating in order to develop that resilience, that solid quality? We've spoken about having a team of advisors around someone.
Yeah, that's right. That's
as
right.
An important quality. And developing a degree of, I don't want to say personal certainty, although that could be a shorthand some people could use for it. But you know, being solid. I'm going to go back to that word from earlier.
Yeah.
And how do you start developing that solidness as an individual, male or female? How does that work? Where do you start?
And I love that you said that it's not gendered. It's not, it's male, female, it's young, it's old. There are people in their 60s who are developing this sort of solidity. And the way that I think about it is depth. Have you looked at the deepest aspect of yourself and swam with the sharks in your psyche, right? So have you noticed, oh, wow, there are these family histories that I hold, or there's trauma that has been passed on intergenerationally, or there's, things that I do that I'm unaware of and that have negative impact on my family or the people around me. But that solidity comes from examining who you are. And I'm biased as a coach because that's what I do with my clients and I do with myself. Like, I don't do anything with my clients that I'm not doing myself. But that knowing who you are and that solidity makes you grounded, feet on the ground, feeling the earth, feeling the power of the earth. And a lot of times when I've helped people around trying to get a job, they get so focused on the, as you said, jumping on any hook, that they can't really just enjoy the pond that they're in right now. And of course, you might have to take the job, the first job that comes your way. Once again, I'm not saying don't take the right job or don't take the job for you if you're in dire straits around finances and you have to, you know, provide for your children and your family. But don't think of it as that's the end or be all. Think of yourself as a brand. So if you hold yourself solidly, who am I as steward? I'm not the flashy, go lucky, happy guy that's going to make you feel necessarily great about everything when you're in a coaching conversation with me. I'm the kind of guy that's going to hold you and be solid with you as you explore sometimes intense experiences, all to make you a better leader. Yeah.
And that exploration serves in the job search process.
Absolutely. It's essential in the job search process. That exploration, and it was so interesting when I first discovered that, because I said I took notes, and as I was talking to my mentors, they would say, you have a whole bunch of assumptions about the people that you're interviewing with, that they don't know you, that they're not. I mean, how disrespectful that is if you're going to an interview and you're like, this person's an idiot. It's probably not going to go well for you in the job experience, or this person doesn't see me, or they don't, the ways sometimes we hold sour grapes, especially when we don't get the job or we made a mistake. What happens if we go in and we say, okay, what is my experience of this? What am I doing in this job search that I notice is either going great or going not so great? And who are the people that I can talk to who can reflect back to me both the positive things that I'm doing and also the not positive things, the negative things that I'm doing? So you have a mirror.
Yeah, and you'll notice, folks, that he spoke about himself, because I know so many professionals, so many people looking for work always blame someone else.
Yeah.
It's their fault. Why aren't they fill in the blank?
That's right.
And you've got a part in this equation, too. So, there's a dynamic that exists between you and other people that helps to create the flow of the conversation allows you to either perform as a world-class individual or not.
I love that you're saying and reminding people that there is an equation to this. And I'll just offer folks, how can this person sitting in front of you that's interviewing you know who you really are? They have 15, maybe 30 minutes talking to you, and they're making all sorts of assumptions about who you are. So it's not the person in front of you that's the issue. It's what can you do to get past that person to the decision maker? So let's be tactical here. Okay, sure. Let's go less theoretical and more tactical, right? So you're in any job interview, you're looking for the decision maker, and it's usually not the person hiring you. And you're making a good enough impact on the person that's interviewing you so that you can get past the next level. Be yourself. You'd much rather be yourself and get rejected than not be yourself and get into a job. You're like, this sucks. Right? So be yourself. Move as be thoughtful, be kind, be who you are. Hopefully you're thoughtful and kind. If you're not, well, I don't know what to tell you, but develop that work. Develop that aspect of yourself, right? Think of it as a strategic process. You're in a job interview. I remember going to a job interview, and especially for in the tech world, sometimes you have like 4, 5, 6 interviews, and you're like, by the time the fifth one rolled around, I was like, I don't even know if I want to work with this company. This is crazy, right? But there's a goal that I'm trying to reach, and I know what that goal is, and so I'm going to be strategic about who I'm going to talk to, what am I going to deal with, what am I going to put up with, so I can get to that decision maker and have that in-depth, detailed conversation.
It's funny how often, job search is so much like dating.
Yeah.
In that people have this nice dating facade to start off with.
Right.
And often it takes a long time to lower the guard and open up as a real person.
Yeah.
So that you can decide whether or not you want to be in relationship with whoever this person is, and they with you, or whether you're just going to keep the act up, in which case you never know whether they fall in love with you or the act.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing exists professionally with interviews.
Mm-hmm.
As Stuart has pointed out, be yourself. And as I like to say,
risk everything
Yes,
by
that's
being
right.
yourself. Because if you're rejected because of who you are, wow, that's great.
It really is. There's such a relief when you're rejected for who being for who you are, because then you think, what happened if I wasn't who I was and I ended up getting this job? Because I've done both. So I think when I'm speaking about this, I've done both. I remember trying to contort myself into a position, into a shape, so that I could get a job, and I got the job and I was extremely miserable. Jeff, it was the most miserable job I've ever been in. And it had nothing to do with the people. It was all about what I was presenting in this position and in this role that I was in.
And thus the expectations you created with them.
That's right. That's right. And so they were looking for a quiet, a quiet, non-confrontational, yes, man.
They got one out of three, maybe.
No, they didn't. I don't think they got any. And so I was butting heads with this with the group that I was working with. What was great about it was I didn't take it personally that I was butting heads with those folks, and I also didn't make them wrong. So part of the work that I did was, okay, well, this obviously isn't the right job for me, so let me start my job search before I either got fired or quit, or let me start the job search now. Which was interesting because doing that alleviated the pressure so I could be show up differently in this organization. So I would always tell people, if you got a job, great. You're always looking for your next one, and make sure that you're not static, that you're always looking to say, where's my next level or my next goal that I'm trying to reach? And that's for any position in anywhere. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Now, I assume, well, folks, I always do a pre-interview with my guests. And in speaking with Stuart, one of the things he wanted to speak to were mental models
Yes. Oh, yeah.
and how to deploy mental models as part of this. I hand the baton to you. Take it away.
Yeah, well, mental models are great lenses by which you look at the world and help you make determinations. So there are mental models on the developmental side, like who are you as a person? Enneagram is one that I've heard people use, leadership circle profile. Center for Creative Leadership. There's all these mental models that people use in order to determine who you are as a leader and who you are as a person. There are also mental models on the kind of work that you do. So I used to do agile coaching for a long time. So if anybody knows what that is, it's a type of business methodology around understanding the way work happens in business, both from the individual all the way to the systemic. So integral theory is a great mental model for people to use. Kinefin, David Snowden's work, is a great mental model to use, whether you're in
Could you
conflict.
spell that one for people?
Sure, it does, and it sounds nothing like how or spelled nothing like how it sounds. It's Cynefin. He's Welsh, I believe, and he used that's that, I don't remember what the term means. But whether the thing in front of you, the problem that you're facing, whether it's simple, complex, complicated, or chaotic. That's a great way to look at anything, actually. Is it a simple problem? Is it a complex problem? Is it a complicated problem? Or is it a chaotic problem? And I'm not going to go in and try and explain a class on Kinefin right now, but I think for anybody who's looking at it, what would be like to take that model and try and wrap your job search into that? Is a simple problem of me trying to find a job by just going out and sending 200 resumes? Is it a complicated problem? Like there's a best practice that I can use. Is it a complex problem? I don't know what this thing is, so I'm going to keep trying to figure it out. And so I'm going to try all these different tools or tactics. Or it's chaotic. I have no idea what's going on, so I'm just going to throw out my resumes and stand in the middle of the street, whatever it is that I can do to make sure that people notice me. So having those models are super useful, especially in a job search. So collect models and think of them almost like, when you go to the eye doctor and they put the different lens in front of you and they're like, can you see now? You're like, nope, still can't read the whatever that thing is. But then what the right model might get in front of your face, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can see it clearly now. I see what I need to do, or I see my next step. So, you know, really use those models, and I would say, like, put them in front of your face and look at the problem of your job search from that perspective.
And it seems like that leads to the idea of experimentation.
Oh, yes. It's so funny, when we were talking last, I remember saying that, and it also goes with rejection game, but we'll talk about that in a section. But experiments really are the way that you're going to get the best job. Should I show up early? Should I show up on time? Should I wear a t-shirt? Should I wear a shirt? Should I be myself? Should I be somebody else? These are all experiments that you can try when you're doing your job search. And I would say, write down the experiment ahead of time to say, this is what I'm going to be, this is what I'm going to try. And I know I'll be successful when this happens. So you have an idea, a hypothesis, and then you have the result by which you know that a hypothesis is successful. And a lot of times people will go through a job search and not be deliberate about it. The biggest thing for me when I was going through job searches was being deliberate in creating the experiments that people that I could document in my notes. And it seems like a lot of work for a job, but it is a job. Like getting a job, finding a job is a job in of itself, right? So treat it as such and document it and create those experiments.
And for those of you who are younger, you're looking at this over a lifetime.
That's right.
And for those of you who are older, you're looking at it for the balance of your career. Why not?
Why not? Why not? Because here's the thing. If you experiment and build resilience, build mentorship, build a team around you, can you imagine if you got and I actually got a job that I loved doing this. I loved the people I was with. Every day I walked into that job and I felt I am being well used. And that's an interesting way to put it, right? But my work was having an impact. I was sitting, it was a small, you know, 400 person company, but I was sitting with the CEO and all the C-suite execs because they valued my opinion. But I also could go and talk to the individual programmer because they also valued my opinion because I wasn't trying to be above. It was the best of both worlds. I was able to travel different levels in that organization. I wouldn't have gotten that job if I hadn't experimented and thought about what kind of work do I want to do. And I didn't get that job the first time, and I didn't get that job the third time, but I got that job the fifth time.
Beautiful. And you mentioned the term rejection game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. It was a term I came across in the early 2000s. I'm dating myself. But it was the early
2000s. I hope you're having a good time. But
yeah, exactly. oh, good Lord, Jeff. Yeah.
I told you I did this kind of
stuff. I know. I should have been ready. But, you know, getting a no, I remember the first time I got a no in a job search, and I was like, oh, God, I really wanted this job. I knew it'd be great. And I ran across this term, the rejection game, and this was the idea that you go and seek rejection to numb yourself a little bit to the idea of getting a no. And so part of my experiments is I would go out and try and get no's. I would ask, I mean, there were some companies that I was like, I could be a vice, you know, at 32 years old, I could be a senior vice president of a large tech company. And they're like, what? Who are you? Don't call us again. Right. That was a clear no. Right. There were some other companies that I would try stuff and they would say, oh, well, maybe not yet. But if you did these four or five things, we might consider you. Now, isn't that powerful that in the rejection, I got learning at the same time?
Bingo.
Right? Bingo. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the learning. You're not looking just to get a no. You're looking to get the learnings out of that. I mean, I tried things. I remember asking a very well-known designer for him to be a mentor of mine. He was leading a class with like, I don't know, 3,000 people in it. And I walked to him and said, hey, can you be a mentor? And he said, well, I don't live here. And I was so freaked out that he was considering me to be to be a mentor of mine that I just turned around and walked away. But here's the thing. He didn't say no.
Right.
And so that's the thing I'm looking for and I really advise people is to really go out and try things and be not afraid of the no.
And isn't it interesting how often people are really afraid of the yes,
That's right. That's right.
as you just expressed. Suddenly, oh my God, he hasn't rejected me yet. I'm out of here.
Well, that's the thing is I love that you're saying that you have to be ready for the yes. Because you probably will get a yes that will blow your mind, that will freak you out, that will make you sweat buckets, and great, do it anyway. One of the best I got advice I got from a mentor is, go for a job that makes you feel like you have to learn something new every day. That's the best job to be in. And it's so true. It's so true.
Stuart, what haven't we covered yet that we really should?
Well, I think what I said earlier around being a job seeker is personal development. And if I can really emphasize that for folks, that it's almost secondary to the job you get because a job is not the end all be all. It shouldn't define you. But if you use it as a way to investigate, develop, and learn about yourself, who am I under stress? Who am I when things are going great, great? What do I feel like when I talk about or talk with leaders? What are some of the things that I struggle with when I work with teams or work as an individual contributor? And especially for the people who are in what are called underrepresented groups, keep going. Keep going. Every job isn't, as I said, is not the one that defines you, but it's who you are as a person, and that's what you're looking for.
Beautiful. Stuart, thank you. How can people find out about, more about you, the work that you do, everything?
Well, first of all, I'm on LinkedIn because LinkedIn. But please look me up at Stuart.McCalla on LinkedIn. I'm also on evolution.team. We're a world-class group of coaches. I do a lot of work with leaders, especially in transition. So if you're in a transition state, especially at the higher levels of leadership, right? So if you're an SVP or higher, even a CEO. And so reach out to me there. I'm actually going to be at .LA in this week, actually, talking about diversity in venture capital. So there's lots of different ways to find me.
Stuart, thanks for making the time today. And folks, we'll be back soon with more. I'm Jeff Alpin, the Big Game Hunter. I do no BS career advice. I do it globally, working with people around job search, hiring more effectively, improving their management and leadership, resolving workplace issues, a holistic approach to you and your career. If you've got questions for me, you can schedule time for a free discovery call, schedule time for coaching. You can do that through my website, thebiggamehunter.us. And while you're there's a ton in the blog that'll help you. It's information you can watch, listen to, or read. I also have courses and books that I've written, again, available through the website. Lastly, connect with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/thebiggamehunter. Have a terrific day, and most importantly, be great.